Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be focused on the first six verses of chapter 4 from 1 John. And as you're turning there, just hold on to that, and I want to show you some pictures for introduction. The message is titled, Exercising Spiritual Discernment. And I believe John has some words to say to us about spiritual discernment. I want to show you a picture of a fella here. You recognize him? Does anybody know who he is? I'd be surprised if you did. Anybody? Okay, nobody. His name commonly was known as P.T. Barnum. Now, do you recognize the name, P.T. Barnum? Born in the States in the 1800s on the East Coast, he was known for many things, and he was a self-proclaimed showman. But many people just said he would do anything to put a few bucks in his pocket. He was well known, of course, for the Barnum and Bailey Circus that he put together. Barnum and Bailey, and it was called many other names, you know, through the years. But he's credited for the slogan, the statement that says, a sucker is born every minute. There's a sucker born every minute. There's somebody born, and you'll be able to get money from them easily. That's the intended meaning behind it. Since P.T. Barnum, though, there's been other people come to take money away from unsuspecting people all the time. The internet has widened the number of people being able to fool unsuspecting people. I'll show you another picture. Just last week, there was a report on elderly New Zealanders being scammed out of tens of thousands of dollars by people claiming to be the police. And so they'd call them and issue them some instructions. Eventually, it would involve some money to try to capture some thieves out there. And so there's been a lot of elderly people in our country being scammed recently. Another picture, in December of last year, ANZ Bank said that scams were up actually 206% in New Zealand. And one more, just this past week on my ASB website, I saw a notice, and the notice reads that if you receive a phone call from, this is ASB's phone number, with an automated message in Chinese, this is a scam, hang up immediately. And so we have to have these kinds of warnings posted from our banks on a pretty regular basis. Why? Because there's so much scams out there. There's so much fakes. There's so many people willing to do anything to take from others. And I don't think that it's just something that happens outside of the church either. And so this is why John writes to us today to give us some warnings, some cautions. 1 John chapter 4. Would you please stand with me? 1 John chapter 4. Let us read it together. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Ready? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who does not Sorry, let's start that one over. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this text today and on spiritual discernment. And I pray that in all of us, you would work in us, open up our eyes and help us to be better able to detect when things are not of you. Give us discernment, Lord, that we need. Give our church discernment, your people, believers. And Father, may we be able to detect falseness, scams, things that are not biblical, things that are not from you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. We need to be careful that the message of Christ is clearly protected and it's guarded. The message that men are sinners, men are in need of salvation, and we are in need of a salvation from a righteous and a holy God. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the church. This is the message that we need to protect and preserve. Because it is often under attack. It is often under attack, not directly, but subtly. A lot of churches tend to appeal to people's felt needs, that God is ready and willing to meet those needs that they have, that they feel they have in their life, if they're just willing to give God a shot. Just try God out. See if He works for you. And this is not the message of the gospel, that we are desperate sinners under the condemnation of a righteous and holy God, but that He has provided a means of salvation, a means that He can forgive us and accept us into His family. This is the message. And we need spiritual discernment to know when it is being tampered with. There's three simple points this morning. The first is that we must be discerning because Satan is active. Look at verse 1 once again. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So last week we read the very last statement in chapter 3 that John, he writes in chapter 3, verse 24, by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he's given us. So he refers to the Holy Spirit. In our faith, our understanding is that every person that belongs to Christ has the Holy Spirit of God living in him. And that Spirit brings conviction in a person's life and how they live. It comforts, it guides, it directs us, it empowers us to live and to work for Him. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. But then immediately in verse 1 of chapter 4, he feels compelled to remind us that there are also other spirits in the world. Everything is not the Holy Spirit working. Have you heard of the term open-minded? What does that mean? When you say you should be open-minded, what does that mean? It means being willing to listen to all points of view, doesn't it? To take on board all points of view and to not be closed-minded, that is to not listen, not be open to all points of view. And being open-minded can be a virtue. I think we need to be open-minded about many things. You know, don't be so closed-minded when it comes to, you know, your palate, your taste in food or in fashion or in you know, many, many preferences that you might have in life. Be more open-minded and listen to some other points of view. But my friends, often when it comes to the basic understanding and philosophy of truth and what is truth, being open-minded isn't always a virtue. And there are many people that may be too open-minded when it comes to understanding truth and God. And John is talking about these people. He has perhaps these people in mind as he's writing to this, to test the spirits. Don't just accept everything that comes along. Put them to the test. The Bible encourages us to have a healthy skepticism on things regarding faith. Speaking to the church in Berea, Paul wrote in Acts 17, he says these, that is the Bereans, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. There was a group in a place called Berea, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. He says, these Bereans, they did something. We came, me and Barnabas and others who were with us, and we spoke to them about what God has done and about Jesus Christ. And the Bereans didn't just accept it without question or without being skeptical. They actually went and studied the scriptures to see if these things were so that they were saying. And Paul said this was great. And so their skepticism on what the message that they were hearing was encouraged. But they had to put it to the correct test. They had to have the right test to measure it by, what they were hearing. He said, test the spirits, John does. John's understanding is that just as there is a real creator God, an actual, real, literal creator God who made the heavens, who made the earth, who made you, there's also other spirits in this world as well at work. He understood Satan, who Satan is. He understood demons, where demons had come from. They're not gods. They are created beings. They weren't created demons, but they became demons at some point in history that we don't exactly know. But he understood these things. And so he says to test them. Those who bring false teaching about God do so by another spirit, whether they're aware of it or not. And so when he says, when you hear a teaching, test the spirits. What he's saying is these teachings are coming from some spirit. If it's not the Holy Spirit, then it's another spirit, whether or not the speakers or the false teachers are aware of it or not. He says, test them. And then he explains, because many false prophets have gone out. And so what he says here is, test the spirits, many false prophets. These are the false prophets, but it's by the spirits that they're speaking. And if it's not from God, then who's it from? John says, test them. This word test is a metallurgical term. Do you know what metallurgic, metal, what's the name of a person metallurgists are? Huh? I'm not hearing, I'm sorry. Metallurgists, they work with the metals. They work with gold and silver, and they make nice things, nice rings. He says, test them. So it's a metallurgist term, and they have means to test to see if something is real, authentic, to see the value of something. You might have something that looks good, but it's rubbish. You might have something that is good. Let me show you a couple of pictures that I found. I did a little research. Look at this. It's a beautiful ring. Gold, diamonds. Let me show you a second picture. It's another beautiful ring, gold and diamonds. The difference between these two, though, go back again and go forward again. Back. Okay, but the difference between these two. One cost $17.95 U.S., so add a little bit. The other one cost $1,192. Now, can you tell which one cost the most? Which one? The first one is most or cheapest? Huh? Sarah says the cheapest. Well, if you said the first one was cheapest, you would be right. How'd you know that? Oh, she's a woman. Huh? She knows her rings. Good job, Sarah. I wouldn't know. But a metallurgist, somebody who knows these things, could examine them closely and tell you probably fairly quickly which is the real thing. One of them might just have a thin plating of gold, false diamonds, you know, all kinds of ways to make it $17.95. Oh, so we need to be discerning in our faith because Satan is active. Just because God has already won, just because the battle is already decided, determined, that Jesus is a victor, doesn't mean that Satan has conceded and that he is no longer seeking to destroy, seeking to confuse, and seeking to ruin people. We must be discerning because Satan is active. So next, let's take a look at test one. What do they say about Jesus Christ? He gives us the first test here. Look at verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So John is giving us the test. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. A false teacher can be gentle. False teachers don't come and have a tattoo across their forehead saying false teacher. So they can be gentle. They could be loving. Even false teachers can perhaps have some of their prophecies come true. Being a self-proclaimed prophet or even a self-proclaimed apostle. They can even perform some miracles. These are all things that the New Testament tells us that are going to happen. And people will look at them and be fooled by them. Even perform miracles. And the Bible talks about these very things. But the question is, does he lead people to a different God? A different Jesus than the one of the Bible. What is the test? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. This is the test. But this surely means more than just admitting that Jesus came in the flesh. Because the Bible even says that Satan and his demons acknowledged Jesus. They knew who he was. When they saw him when he was here on earth, they trembled before him. They knew who he was. They knew that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. They knew what he was here to do. So they know this. But it involves submission to this fact. Submission to it, to him as to the Lord. You submit yourself to his rulership. Two aspects that John brings out. The first is that Jesus is God. He says, Jesus Christ has come. This indicates that he was before. Even before he came, Jesus was. It was John himself in the Gospel of John that began his very gospel saying, in the beginning was the Word, was Jesus. All things were made by him. Nothing was made without him. So John acknowledged and understood that Jesus is part of the eternal triune Godhead. He is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. They are one, yet three distinct persons. And so the two aspects, the first is Jesus is God, but the second is that Jesus was man, because he says that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He took on flesh. He became man. These aspects of Jesus are fundamental. This is basic Christianity. That who is Jesus? Jesus was fully God, but Jesus was also fully man. He became one of us. He lived among us. He was born of a woman. If Jesus was not God, he would have been just a sinner like you and I. And his death on the cross wouldn't have atoned for anything because he'd have his own sin to atone for. If Jesus wasn't divine. But if Jesus wasn't fully man, he could not have assumed our sins upon him when he died, nor could he have died being God, being an eternal being. But he became man. He suffered and he died, took our sins upon him on the cross to the point that the Bible says God forsook him, the Father forsook, turned his back on him. He took our sins upon him because he was fully man. And both of these are essential. This is the understanding of Jesus Christ having come in the flesh, that this Jesus Christ is God, that he was man, that he died for our sins. And we, in turn, our response is to submit ourselves to him and his lordship, to submit ourselves to who he is, to deny any or either of these truths, that he's fully God or fully man, is to deny our faith. Any teaching that denies Jesus is fully God and that he was also fully man, John is saying, is the doctrine not of the Holy Spirit but of demons, the doctrine of Satan. We need to be careful. Who do the teachers say about, what do they say about Jesus? And we need to look carefully into it sometimes. Because sometimes it's not, like I said, they don't always just put it black and white and across their foreheads. We have to look carefully into it. You look into some groups like Jehovah's Witnesses, like Mormons, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they talk about Jesus as well. They talk about Jesus. And even on the surface sometimes you're like, and they want to come across as we're just another Christian group. But their understanding of who Jesus is completely different. There's a reason, for example, in the Jehovah's Witness Bible, New World Translation, it says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was a God. There's a reason they say that, that Jesus Christ was a God. Because their understanding of, oh yeah, Jesus was the promised Messiah, Jesus was divine, but yet he was just one of many. And their understanding was that he pre-existed with God, as a God, as well as his brother Satan, and the two were brothers together. So their understanding of who Jesus is completely a different Jesus. And the Mormon church is completely different as well. And they do not have the same beliefs about Jesus. John here is warning us. Guard the message that came to us from Jesus Christ and from his apostles and test it. And the first test is, what do they say about who Jesus is? But the second test is this. Is the Bible their sole authority? Is the Bible their sole authority? Verse 4, he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, first note. The audience John is addressing. He's not addressing the world in general. Who's he addressing? You are of God. Again, he uses the phrase little children. John, our elder brother in the Lord, the eldest apostle, the last remaining apostle at this time. He says, you are of God, little children. So he's addressing those who belong to Christ, those who are genuinely born again. And then he adds, greater is he who is in you, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that is in the believers. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. He who is in the world is Satan. He's been defeated. Jesus Christ on the cross said, it is finished. The battle is won. It's over. The work of salvation has been completed. Satan has lost. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But then note the three groups that he speaks to. In verse 4, he says, you are of God, little children. In verse 5, it's they are of the world. In verse 6, we are of God. So he talks about the you. He talks about the they, and then he talks about the we. The you is, well, it's you. It's the born-again believers. The they is those out, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. The we that he's referring to is the apostolic authority as an apostle. And as those who Christ had chosen and through whom the word of God has been delivered to us. Hebrews tells us that God spoke and he built upon the foundation of Christ and the apostles. And so the we is the apostles who are directing us to God's word. Since we've been born again, we have a built-in tool built inside of us. What is that tool that's built inside of us? Those who truly are born again belong to Christ. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And so, yes, you have people out there that lead into all kinds of error continually and try to lead others into error continually. And say, oh, you can't really understand what the Bible says. It's a book of mysteries, and you know, it can mean many different things. And well, of course, because not everybody, and we have to understand, not everybody has that built-in tool of the Holy Spirit. The Bible makes this clear several places. But there are two types of people compared here. Those that are of the world in verse 5, that says, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. They speak like the world does, and the world will listen. Okay? They're not speaking the words of God. They're speaking the things of the world. I remember a few years ago, JoJo and I visited China. We took a trip together in China. And we visited several places, traveling a few of the cities, and it was a wonderful trip. But I noticed everywhere I went, people sounded funny, and I couldn't understand what they were saying. It was frustrating. I couldn't buy a bus ticket without help. But once in a while, I'd be out and I'd hear something that sounded familiar and my ears would perk up. What was I hearing? Somebody speaking English. And I heard immediately. I knew what they were saying. They're speaking my language. And that's what, you know, this is a picture of. The world hears them because they're speaking their language. And sometimes they come, they hear the mumbo-jumbo of the Bible, and just doesn't make sense to them because it's not their language. They don't have the built-in Spirit of God that has changed them from the inside out, that has opened their spiritual eyes to see the beauty of God and His Word to us. I remember we talked a few weeks ago about worldliness. It's not just knowing things about the world, you know, being really good on finances, on property, and business, and even fashion of the world. That's not what it is about, worldliness. We looked at how worldliness was the world system that is opposed to the things of God. The world system. And it's a spiritual thing. It's not that there's some headquarters out there and this is the world system and it's opposed to God and it has a manifesto that says we are against God and anything to do with God. No, but we understand, as I believe John does, that there's a whole other spiritual reality at work here. And it's what's behind things. And it's this world system. And it's the language of the world here. And so when it says that, therefore, they speak as the world, it's saying, no, this is the world system. The things that are opposed to God. Some have suggested that what this is implying here is that it attracts large crowds. It says, therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Large groups. You speak what they want to hear, and you get people that will listen. You keep the focus on the message of Christ and the message that man is a sinner in need of a Savior. And it's not as appealing to the world. It's a wonderful, beautiful message to the believer who speaks that language, but it's not necessarily a wonderful, beautiful message to the world. In fact, sometimes they hate that message. They want to squash that message. That's a message of divisiveness. That's a message of intolerance. Those of the world, but then we see those of God. He said in verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. Now, I believe he's not saying we are of God. He who hears us, he's referring to his apostolic authority, drawing people back to the Word of God. What does God have to say on these issues? We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He's going to be focused and steered back to the Word of God. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So here we have that second test, pretty much here. The first is that what they say about Jesus, but the second is simply this. Do they speak God's word following the apostles' doctrine? Or are they coming up with their own doctrine, their own teaching, their own message? And the Bible takes a back seat. If you go to a church and the Word of God is not central, the Word of God is perhaps not even opened up, or it's just alluded to help support some personal opinions, then that should be a caution flag right there. That should be a caution flag. This is a test of truth that John gives us. What they have to say about who Jesus is, but secondly, is their focus on the Word of God as directed, as given to us by the apostles of Jesus Christ. So we're reminded by John that Satan is active. There's lots of fakes. There's lots of counterfeits out there. Don't be naive and accept everything that comes along that is spiritual. Don't be naive and accept everything that is in the Christian bookstore or on a Christian radio station or Christian television. Have a healthy skepticism, not a skepticism that just is ornery and willing to fight about everything, but a healthy Berean type of skepticism that says, wait a second. I want to first compare this to what the Word of God has to say. What do they say about Jesus? Are they speaking of a different kind of Jesus? And secondly, we're talking about the first test is who they say about Jesus. Christian doctrine has always held him to be fully God and fully man, part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity, not some half God, half man. We can't say the truth of Jesus' divinity and humanity is, you know, somewhere in the middle there. No, he's fully God, fully divine. That's where the truth is. We have to accept what God has revealed to us. Step to either side of this seeming paradox, and you lead into error. But the other test is the Bible and the apostles' teaching. Not our own authority, not our ideas, not our dreams, not our vision, our wisdom. Our focus must be, what does God's Word say? What does it say to us? Would you stand with me, please? Let us stand together and have a word of prayer, and then we're going to take of the Lord's table together as a church family. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to encourage you to take a moment right now to go to the Lord in prayer. My friends, I don't know every heart here. God knows your heart. There may be some here who don't know Jesus as their Savior. And I would urge you at this time to make sure you get that right with God first. You're in a place that uplifts and upholds the gospel of Jesus. We want to be able to help you to understand what the gospel is all about. You have to understand who you are. Jesus isn't just there to make your life a little better as you run your life your way. No, to come to Christ, we come to Him as our Savior, but as the Lord. He is the boss. I will submit myself to Him fully. No strings attached. Fully submissive to Him as Lord. Maybe some of you are here and you haven't been discerning in truth. And John's words here are for you. I want you to go to the Lord in prayer. If there needs to be confession, confess. And ask the Lord to give you this discernment of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just come magically. He wants you to be a disciple of the Word. And He uses the input of the Word of God to guide you, to lead you into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word to us. Lord, may we be a people of the Word. People who uphold Jesus Christ and who He is and are submissive to Him. Lord, may we also be people who are discerning, who can tell error. Lord, when something just doesn't sound right because it doesn't line up with what the Bible tells us, may we be alert and aware. May we be careful of false teaching. In Jesus' name. Please go ahead and be seated as some of our men come to prepare the Lord's table. Thank you, fellas. Go ahead and begin to get it set up, and we'll start in just a moment. The Lord's table is something that we do regular because we're reminded. It's not just a memorial about someone that we loved who has passed away. It's not that kind of memorial. It's a memorial of what Jesus went through to secure our salvation. The cost that was paid for us to be born again. Salvation was completed on the cross. And it's a free gift to all who believe. But it's not a cheap gift. It was very dear, very expensive. And so this is something we do regular to remind us of this. We don't do this to try to achieve some grace from God. doing this doesn't make a person a Christian. And in fact, we encourage people who aren't sure of their salvation to not partake of the table. But this is something believers do, to be reminded of the cost of their salvation. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. So I'll invite you outside rows. Would you come and take the bread, take the cup, and then return to your seats. And then the inside section, just as soon as you can, you may go. Outside sections, you may go now. Thank you. Again, Paul writes to us, Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this symbol that we are holding in our hands of the body of Jesus. Jesus, who became flesh, he was fully divine, fully God, so that he could atone for our sins, but at the same time he was fully man, so that he could take our sins upon him, that he could die in our place for us. Thank you, Lord, for that body of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Lord, we hold the cup in our hand to remind us of the blood that was shed, that blood that was shed freely to atone for our sin, my sin. Lord, we thank you for that blood that washes away our sin, removes it from us, makes us right with you, our God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And once again, we have done as The Lord's commanded, and we'll continue till he comes. We have a few announcements, and then we'll be dismissed as we're collecting the cups.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. And thank you, men, for serving and those who have prepared the communion for us. Just a few announcements I'd like to share with you before we're dismissed for our Sunday school class. If you have your bulletin, just check on the inside pages with me. Under our notices, Kids Club, we have a membership baptism class that will be taking place next Saturday. This is the 13th of July. It's at 11 o'clock right here at the church. And Pastor Ken and his wife Jennifer will be leading that class. There will be a lunch provided for the children as well. So for the young people who are to be baptized or would like to have an interest in being baptized, see Pastor Ken and his wife Jennifer, and they can enroll you into that class. We have a girls' day with Denise coming up next Saturday as well, the 13th of July. So ladies or girls, I guess it's girls, you're talking mainly the teenage girls, right? In the teen club. So if you're interested in being a part of that, just see Denise, and she'll give you all the details. Would you like to say anything about that, Denise? You don't want to come up here. Are you sure? 5 o'clock at your house. Uh-huh. See, I knew I could get more information. You just have to kind of keep going a little bit. You threaten them to come up here, and they'll tell you. Youth Winter Camp coming up for 2019. This is the Youth Winter Camp that will be the 16th of July. So it's coming up really soon. Check with Josh and Denise about the final details coming up for the camp. If you haven't signed up or registered already, then see them and they can give you all of the details of the camp that will be taking place. Did you want to say anything on that one, Josh? Okay. It's what? Just pray. Pray for the teens as they travel down. And the leaders. Free Children's Ministry Workshop coming up on the 20th of July. A lot of things happening in July coming up. Free Ministry Workshop, this is on the 20th of July. It's on a Saturday from 9 o'clock until 12 o'clock. It's for our children's ministry that is here. So if you're a part of the children's ministry, or if you're thinking about or would like to be a part of the children's ministry, or maybe in some other form or fashion teaching, then this ministry workshop you'll find interesting and helpful as well. The lady who is teaching this workshop is also going to be the main speaker for our women's conference. So ladies, if you haven't signed up, please go ahead and consider signing up for the ladies' conference coming up on Thursday the 25th all the way through the 27th. Gloria Morrison is the speaker. Living a Kindred Spirit is the theme of the conference. She'll be doing some performances, production, singing, theatrical type performances of missionaries' lives. And is it going to be ladies in the Bible as well? Ladies from the Bible, she does quite a few. She's professionally trained, but more than being professionally trained, she's a believer, and she loves the Lord, and she loves helping other people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So ladies, if you can come out to the conference, sign-up sheet is in the back, and if you have any questions, just see Gina, and she can give you the details. Our Bible Training Center for Pastors, BTCP, the next class, for those of you who are already enrolled, will be the 1st of August. That's on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We're in book number 6, Personal Spiritual Life. If you haven't previously registered for one of these training classes, perhaps you would be interested in that. And you can see Pastor Ken. He will be teaching the next class generally from 7 o'clock and finishing somewhere between 8:30 and 9 o'clock every Thursday. Bell Choir, we've had some who have been a part of a Bell Choir, especially for the special occasions and things that are coming up, and we'd like to see that continue on. So for those who would like to be a part of a Bell Choir, you can see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer. I don't think you have to have necessarily musical experience, do you, Jennifer? Don't have to have musical experience. So if you'd like to be a part of it, come and see her, and they'll get some trainings and practices going with that. A married couples retreat that's coming up towards the end of the year in November. We have a sign-up sheet, so we'd like to encourage you to sign up if you haven't already. And then our guest speaker next Sunday, our very own Casey Wong. Casey will be preaching in the morning service and in the later morning service. And then during the Sunday school time at 10 o'clock, he will be sharing a bit of his personal ministry and what the Lord is doing and using them where he has them ministering. So next Sunday morning, be sure and be here to hear Casey. And I think you'll probably hear a little bit from Christina, his wife, as well. So our missionaries we're praying for this week, Michael and Beatrice Kaburu, our missionaries in Kenya. So continue to pray for them as well as our other missionaries. We've posted the letters in the back. So I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share with you before we're dismissed, but perhaps you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary. We'd like to celebrate with you. Anyone with a birthday this coming week? Anyone with a birthday? I know my wife has a birthday, so she has to come up. She can't hide. Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I remember. See? Anyone else with a birthday? Anyone else with a birthday this coming week? How about wedding anniversaries? Do we have anyone with wedding anniversary this week? No other birthdays, no other wedding anniversaries. So it's all just you. You get the whole box of chocolates. Let's all stand together. We'll sing happy birthday, and then Pastor Ken's going to dismiss us in prayer.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Let's be dismissed. Thank you, Father, for your word to us today from the Apostle John. Lord, may we leave this place today greater in love with you, who you are, what you've done. Lord, may we live for you, serve you. May we, Lord, also be aware that there is also another whole dimension. There's the world and its system that is against the things of God. So, Lord, I pray that we would be discerning, not naive. Let us be alert to any teachings that are contrary to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.